Hare Om Sahana Bhavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Saha Viryam Karavavahai Tejasvi Navadhitamastu Ma Vidvishavahai Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So page 81, Six Principles of Surrender. Srila Prabhupada writes in chapter 39 of Nectar Devotion, in the process of surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there are six items: to accept everything favorable for devotional service, to reject everything unfavorable for devotional service, to believe that Krishna will always give protection, to identify oneself with Krishna's devotees, always to feel inability without the help of Krishna, and always to think oneself inferior to Krishna, even though one may have full capacity to perform something on his own. Right? So that defines yesterday what we were talking about, thinking oneself as low and worthless. So the idea is to always feel inability without the help of Krishna, to always think oneself inferior to Krishna. That's the meaning of it. It doesn't mean that one has an emotional inferiority complex, right? It's meaning that one sees oneself in connection with Krishna, that he's the supreme, only through him that we're able to get anything done. Right. And then the other, being self-surrendered also is to identify oneself with Krishna's devotees. Right? That's also, so these all have that same meaning, because you're surrendered means you identify as a devotee. So excerpts from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur Sharanagati, yes.
It strikes me as a little odd that Prabhupada writes, even though one may have full capacity to perform something on his own.
Means, in other words, one is, by Krishna's grace, has the skill.
Okay.
So even whether you remember Krishna or not, you can perform that skill. But in actuality, one's only able to perform that skill by Krishna's grace. So in other words, one should be conscious of that. Because otherwise one may think, okay, I can only do this with Krishna's help and I pray to him. But when I do the activity and it's going successfully, I'm not thinking of Krishna. You know what I'm saying? And then I've done this, and then I become proud. Does that make sense? So that's the point, is that the devotee, he doesn't become proud, because if you don't do something, you don't become proud of it. You know what I'm saying? You know, like this guy, over on that side, they grew a nice forest, right? So do you feel proud of that?
Not particularly.
No, because he didn't do it. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So the problem comes is that we're only proud of what we've done, or what we identify with. So if we identify as Krishna's servant, and we're, you know, Krishna's superior, and we can only do things by Krishna's grace, right? Then there's no pride. So then one can always be humble.
I think I got caught off with, I would have written seemingly.
Seemingly, no, but here the point is because we think we have the full capacity. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's dealing with, see, when you're dealing with elements of rasa, you're also dealing with the aspects of how a person actually perceives it. Because what we have to remember here is that Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, all the acharyas, then they're fully versed in the tattva and the rasa. But the point is they have to make it accessible to us. And they're dealing with us as people. So the language that they'll use sometimes seems to be pretty regular. But we have to be able to understand what's the person, what's the point, because he says without. He always feels the inability. Because here is as though one has the capacity. It's not talking about, it's not talking tattva here. It's talking rasa, right? It means I feel inability without Krishna's help, even though I may have the full capacity to perform something. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, the person working in the bank, he has charge of, you know, the whole vault of money, but he may forget it belongs to the bank.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's the problem. Does that make sense? So if he maintains that, then you'd say he's, you know, he's honest, he's good, he's, you know, stable, he's loyal, all these different things. So it's a matter of rasa. These are the places where people will say, oh, Prabhupada just gives the basics and someone else gives the real rasa. No, the thing is this rasa is here. It means they only discuss rasa. But the thing is we take it as just ordinary dealings. But we don't understand it's based on the philosophy and the actual rasa as Krishna's established. Right? So we make this mistake. And so we think this is not. But that's the point is addressing how exactly you feel. How do they know that you feel like that? Because some will say, one should always think oneself, you know, meek and humble. Okay. That does the one side. But the point is even though you may have the capacity, because there's the idea, if I'm meek and humble, then I can't do anything, and, you know, I'm a useless. And no, that's not what it's saying. You know, Bhima is going out picking up elephants, throwing them around, having some good fun, right? But he understands it's only by Krishna's grace he's able to do that. Right? But Krishna has given him that, so he uses it. It's not that because I can do it, that's Maya. That'll be the other side. Oh, he's so expert. That's my. He's so proud. No, it's a matter of what is the proper attitude to actually do the work. Right? You know, you're managing. You have to be confident. You're not confident. Others won't be. But it doesn't mean that you think that I'm the one doing this work. You know what I'm saying? That's why there's natural moods that go with an activity. You know what I'm saying? That's why Shastra will talk about them. Because otherwise we'll have our own idea of what goes with what. You know, it's just like a musician or an entertainer, you know, singing, dancing, playing musical instruments. Ideas, it should look as if it's effortless. So they're just smiling, pleasant, you know? And so then that's what makes it so special. You know what I'm saying? You know, so they're singing extremely difficult things or playing instruments in amazing ways, but there's no tenseness. It's just because the point is the other person is watching. It shouldn't create something in them, right? And now it's like you play the instruments, they got to grit their teeth. I get in there like that, and then everybody else goes like this, and then, you know, everyone feels good, you know, like that. So, but the point is it's not, that's not, so that goes there, but that's for when it's difficult. But if you have so much ability, it's effortless. Does that make sense? You know, that's the point. Is that because it's Krishna's grace anyway. And so, therefore, you can have that mentality, and then that will add to it. So not only is it expert and it's pleasant, then it has that purity of Krishna consciousness. That's the Vedic standard. That's normal culture. You know what I'm saying? Being caught up in the rules and that and thinking it's because I follow the rules, I'm expert, that's what makes me good. Right? That's the smarta. And it's just the bhav is all that's important. We don't care. That's the sahajya. Right? And that's the typical term. You know what I'm saying? The traditional terms. If you want to translate that in modern, just substitute conservative and liberal for the same terminology.
Christianity and New Age?
No, you probably have to say Catholic and New Age. Yeah. You know, like that. You know, it's just like that. It's just, you get caught up in the rules and forget that the rules are for expressing the affection. And the other things, it's just the affection. But how do you express it? You know what I'm saying? The guy's just walking along and sees a dirt clod and picks it up and then, gets up and stands on the bench and holds up the dirt clod and looks at the girl and says, "Will you marry me?" You know, it's kind of like, she'll just keep walking. You know what I'm saying? There's a form that you expect. So that's the point, is the form goes together. Does that make sense? So you can't function without the form, so the smartas are right there, but that the form itself is the all in all, that's where their mistake is. Right? And the sahajiyas, their mistake, the bhava is the most important, more than form. Yes, that's true, but to think that you can function without form, that's foolish. You can't function without form. Does that make sense? Yeah. So the two have to be together. So it's so perfectly blended and balanced that when Prabhupada talks, we think it's ordinary. Yeah, it's just like you read something that's very well written. It just so smoothly reads. But the guy got a Nobel Prize for it. That means out of millions of writers in the world, his was good. So that's the point is, Prabhupada and the Acharyas, they discuss and talk at that level that we just take it as so ordinary and so normal, which is good because we accept it, but at the same time we take it as so easy and don't make the endeavor. So that's where these mistakes come in. They think it's not. But it's like in here. What Prabhupada is talking about here in this, that's what makes it when you say the gopis aren't great philosophers. Right? They just love Krishna. You know, they always think of Krishna. So this is how it works. So we'll take it as, no, there's some technique. You know, I'll sit down and I'll read the Gopi Gita and that's what will make me. That's where the mistake is. Right? Prabhupada is always talking about developing love for Krishna in the mood of the gopis, but when you have the Gopi Bhava Club, Prabhupada didn't like it at all. Why? Because they think it's the technique that's going to get you that love of the gopis. No, it's simply the heartfelt surrender and proper chanting the holy name and surrender to Krishna, Guru, and the Vaishnav. That's what's going to get it for you. So that's the problem. So no. But so anything that has that form is wrong. You understand? So in other words, what's happening here? It's still the smarta element. That one thinks is the rule that means the activity itself, that's the saha. No. You know what I'm saying? And the other thinks it's by the form. That's how I'll get it. Both of them miss the point. It's a medium. Does that make sense? So that's the thing to catch. Does that work? Okay. Introduction. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu descended from the eternal spiritual world along with his personal associates and divine abode. Incarnating in this temporary material world out of compassion for the fallen souls, right? So when we say descended from the eternal spiritual world with his personal associates, we have no problem. With his divine abode, we have no problem. So that means it's the spiritual world, right? But that spiritual world is manifest here. And that spiritual world is such that those from here can see it and walk through it and interact with the Lord and his eternal associates. That's where we miss the point. You know what I'm saying? That's Tathasta Shakti. You know what I'm saying? We get all bent out of shape about the Tathasta Shakti. That's Tathasta Shakti. That the Lord can bring his eternal realm with his associates and his pastimes here where it's purely material. Right? And for the two opposing elements to be able to be in the same place, that's Tathasta Shakti. That's its potency. So therefore, you can see the spiritual, you can see the material. You can see them both. That's the meaning of Tathasta. Right? Material means you don't see the spiritual. Spiritual means you don't see the material. Tathasta means you see them both. Right? That's why the jiva can be in both. Right? Does that make sense? But we're minute, you know, so the potency itself is what does it. Does that make sense? So it's not a different realm. We always like to, because of our time and space, is okay, there's material spirit. Where is that realm? Where is it? You know, they're trying to work it out, you know, with the getting out Google Maps, trying to figure it out, and stuff like that. It's not going to happen. It's in the same place. You know? You know what I'm saying? It's different dimensions, but it's the same place. Always remember, you can have so many dimensions, but there's still only 10 directions. Yes.
Is the jiva made of tathastashakti, or is he situated?
No, he is tathastashakti. But he's not the lord of tathastashakti. That's because tathastashakti is part of the swarup shakti. So it means the swarup shakti is controlling. You know what I'm saying? So that's it. We are from that, but we're not the controller of it. Right? You know, we're just happy if we can control ourselves, you know, like that. That's called self-realization, right? Does that make sense? So it's the Swarup Shakti that's controlling the three. You understand? The Swarup Shakti means the complete energy. Then there's three manifestations, internal, external, and jivas. Right? Does that make sense?
Swarup Shakti is the original source, but then there's a particular transformation of it influences different elements.
Meaning?
There's the internal, there's the external.
But those are manifestations of the Swarup Shakti. You know what I'm saying? The Swarup Shakti is technically beyond what we call spiritual. It's like Krishna's beyond spiritual. Right? He's spiritual and he's not material, but he's beyond what we call the spiritual manifestation. Because he is separate from that, and it's his energy that's manifesting it. So he and his energy are non-different, so they're beyond. But the manifestation is within that. So the Samvit Sandin Ladini, that's the manifestation. You know what I'm saying? But Krishna and his are beyond that. That's the manifestation. Then that same Swarup Shakti then manifesting through the material, we call that goodness, passion, and ignorance. Right? And the Tathasta is where Samvit, Ladini, and Sandini and goodness, passion, and ignorance can be at the same place at the same time, because they're a reflection of the two things. You know what I'm saying? So both can be there. You know what I'm saying? The person is there, the mirror is there, and so the reflection, and so you have them both at the same place at the same time. That potency, that's the tathasta aspect.
It's like a realm that can shift.
Well, it's not a shift, it's Krishna's all pervading, all this is all pervading. The point is where it's manifest. The Swarup Shakti is the whole thing. That means there's material everywhere. There's means inferior everywhere. There's superior everywhere, and there's tathasta everywhere. But the manifestation of the spiritual is in the spiritual realm. The manifestation of material is within the material realm, and then the tathasta is where the spiritual realm descends to the material realm. Does that make sense? Like that. So it's not so much a location. Because you're dealing with one person. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? You can sit and, you know, just relax. Or you can be active. Right? When you sit and relax, you're on the couch. When you're active, you're in another place. But it's the same person. You know what I'm saying? You wouldn't fix your car on your couch. Right, you wouldn't relax on the bonnet of your car like that. I mean, some people do, but you know what I'm saying. So there's natural manifestations. So you understand, Swarup Shakti manifests these according to the situation. Right. So those jivas and those personalities that are committed to serving Krishna, then the spiritual world is manifest. You know what I'm saying? The Swarup Shakti means it's all three of those. That's why I say Yoga Maya and Mahamaya, the same person. It's just two different offices. You know, like Krishna is at home and Vishnu is at the office. They're the same person. Just that, you know, we can sit at home and then we have to get up and go to the office. But Krishna can sit at home and go to the office. You know what I'm saying? So then, you know, how much better, right? So he can enjoy all. He's on enjoying all day, and he's getting work done all day. Now that's, you know, that's efficient. You know, permanently on vacation and at work, right? You know, so it's like, you know, does that make sense? So the point is the Swarup Shakti, or the Chit Shakti, is the internal, the manifestation of the internal and the manifestation of the external. Right? You're conscious of Krishna, then she manifests as Yogamaya. You're not conscious of Krishna, she manifests as Mahamaya. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like you have this nice, you know, what you call in the modern sense, typically looking very nice lady and all that, well dressed and all that. And then, you know, you don't quite deal properly. And she walks over to you and just looks at you and says, you know, get it together, I'm going to be your worst nightmare. You know, like that. It's like, okay. You know, the same lady, she can be real pleasant and nice, or, you know, you'll wish you had been. Does that make sense? It's just a matter of how you deal. It's all personal. We like to make it into little boxes. Remember, boxes aren't people. You know what I'm saying? That's the problem. We love this impersonal little boxes, little this and that, and this is this and that's that. In other words, this, the concept of analyzation means duality. Right? We make the connections between them, but they can never be simultaneous. Right? So when we analyze things, we don't use our own philosophy generally. Because you have the little boxes, that's the difference, and then the little arrows is the connection. So we've used intelligence. But the concept that the two can be the same at once, that we can't accommodate. No, then we have to make a third box in the middle. You know, what's this, what's that, where the overlap is. But it's simultaneous. All these things are there, but at the same time it's all one thing. You know what I'm saying? So that's the point to get used to. Right? Is that we analyze things to tell the differences so we can actually appreciate it. You know what I'm saying? It's just like you're cooking. You don't know what saffron tastes like. You just know it tastes nice. But if you understand that saffron, then you can appreciate the saffron. But at the same time, the saffron flavor and the preparation are non-different. So you can appreciate the complete preparation, and at the same time you can appreciate the saffron. You understand? So that's the point, is that the connoisseur can do that. Right. Somehow or another, it always just comes out as that. Because in Bengali, kana means food, right? Right? And then asur means demon, right? So food demon, right? You're kanasur, right? You know? Maybe it's not quite the traditional French explanation, right?
Can it be Sura instead of Asura?
Kana Sur. Ah, yes. Okay, so the food devata. That would work better. Okay. That's it. But there are certain personalities that I will use it the other way. But the guy who makes all trouble at the table, he's the connoisseur. And the guy who's the refined, he's the connoisseur. Okay, yeah, so depending on that, that's what the Mayavadis do with it. They just break it so they get the different meanings like that. That's, yes.
As you said this definition, and the Tathashta Shakti is where like spirit enters matter.
No, it's not enters matter, it's just they're in the same place. The spirit, because it's not material, it can be at the same place as matter. But we think it can only be matter, only be spirit. But that's the meaning of understanding everything's Brahman, is that it's already spirit. It's our consciousness that we think it's material. So technically there's only superior Brahman and inferior Brahman. Does that make sense? So we're minute superior Brahman. Right? Then there's the big superior Brahman. That's why we're servant of the servant. In other words, we as small superior Brahman serve the greater superior Brahman. Does that make sense? So material is only a perspective. You know, there's a phrase for that. You understand? It's just how we see it. You know, which is wrong, which is illusory, because it's not actually like that. Does that make sense? So there's no problem in them. They have no problem. We're the ones that have problem because we're dualists. Right? Materialist means you're a dualist. Right? Like that. It means that you see that spiritual and material are different. No, it's just, it's Krishna, the material energy is Krishna's potency. But we're trying to see it without God. Right? Does that make sense? So that's why deism is a mundane philosophy. Because we separate God from his creation. Right? But at the same time, he is separate. But it's simultaneous. So that's because we'll tend to look at one or the other. Right? So when you analyze, you look at one and the other, but you have to be able to function with it together. So we separate them, we show the connections. But you have to understand that they can all function at once. Is that so?
We're like superior Brahman and mixes with the inferior Brahman.
It's not so much. You can say mixes, but the point is what we're talking now is that they can occupy the same space at the same time. There's no problem. The all-accommodating potency can accommodate all three at once because the all-accommodating potency is the person that is all three. Like, do you have a problem accommodating your arm and leg at the same time?
It'd be hard in the same place.
No, but where your body is, it's you have to say the creation is it's one thing. You know what I'm saying? We're the one that sets aside the this and that. You know what I'm saying? Because it's said in the spiritual platform that the organs are all interchangeable. So then, you know, not like some science fiction thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah. In a way, it shows very nicely that we are like, by this definition, we are Tathagata Shakti. We are like the parts of it.
Yeah, we are individual. See, because the point is that these things are unlimited. Right? In other words, how much is manifest in the spiritual world, it doesn't, even though it's unlimited, there's still more of it to be manifest. Otherwise, how does it expand unlimitedly? Same as the material world is expanding unlimitedly. The jivas are expanding unlimitedly. Because the Srup Shakti is unlimited and therefore can unlimitedly expand them. So that means the jiva is coming from the Tathasta Shakti. Does that make sense? You know, just like the spiritual world comes from the internal potency. The material world comes from the external potency. But these three potencies are one person. Does that make sense? The point is to be able to appreciate them all at once. We explain the differences, but they have to be able to be appreciated at once. Does that make sense? Yes.
So, what do you mean by the jiva is continuously expanding?
Not the Tathasta Shakti means unlimitedly jivas are manifesting. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? He's always there, but then it's just a matter of manifestation. These are the points that get a little bit beyond the ability of the brain to catch, right? So they're hinted at, but they're on the They're that. They're the this side of that edge of, you know, what we can't understand.
Spiritual world and its completeness is eternal, but simultaneously expanding.
Yeah. There's more Vaikunthas every moment, you know, Vaikuntha planets.
Still there eternal.
Yeah. So that's why, because it's God, and we can't understand God unless it's by His grace. So that's why devotional service is the only way to actually get knowledge and detachment. Right? There isn't a separate method. You can try, but it's not complete. In order to freely distribute the gift of ecstatic love of God, which is very difficult to obtain, he taught the path of Sharanagati, the devotional surrender to the Supreme Lord. This Sharanagati is the very life of the true devotees. Right? So this is the main thing. The mood is, you know, we get too much caught up in the form, but it's the mood in which the form is manifest. You need you express the mood, you need form, but we have to remember it's the mood that you're trying to express. The six ways of surrender through Sharanagati are Dainya, humility. 2. Atmanivedana, dedication of the self. 3. Goptritve, Varna, acceptance of the Lord as one's only maintainer. The consciousness of Avasya Rakibe, Krishna. Krishna will surely protect me, which is Vishvasya, faith in Krishna's palana, protection. 5. Bhakti Anukul Matra Karyena, Svikara, execution of only those acts favorable to pure devotion. And 6. Bhakti Pratikul Bhava, Varjanangrikar, renunciation of conduct adverse to pure devotion. It means these are the same 6, but notice the order is different. Because unless one is humble, then you can't fully surrender. Then only by accepting one as his maintainer, then you can then see that you'll be protected. Then you can accept and reject. You understand? You know, because you're talking about the mentality. Right? So it's only when you feel that, yes, being in the association of devotees, then everything will be nice. Then you start to give up the material things and accept the Vajra Kriya. Does that make sense? But as far as the sadhana goes, you're going to start with what's favorable and what's unfavorable. You understand? And then you're going to be taking care of yourself, and slowly, slowly you see that Krishna will take care and He'll protect. Then you can come to the point of that full surrender. That proper humility and surrender. Does that make sense? So you have these two aspects going at the same time. So one you're starting with the one you start with the other. Right? So that's why you're always, sadhana is there, what you should do, not do, all the rules and regulations, at the same time the humility and identification as a devotee. Right? Then they meet in the middle as Krishna is the maintainer and protector. Yes?
If I remember properly, somewhere there were categorized, like the first two, acceptance, rejectance, to Kanishta, the next two to Madhyama, and then...
it means like that, as sadhana, then you would put it that way, as a neophyte, Madhyama, and Uttama. But at the same time, as you do have that, the unless that is accomplished to some degree, just like without sadhu sangha, faith doesn't develop. Right? And then, in further sadhu sangha, then bhajana kriya is taken up. You know what I'm saying? So the point is that surrender to Krishna, because remember, that's the main, quality of the 26 qualities of devotees, that surrender to Krishna. If that's there, then the humility and all these other things properly come. Does that make sense? So one has to cultivate that. In other words, one's cultivating the attitude and one's cultivating the practices. Then it will go on. Because if you're cultivating the attitude, then you're willing to surrender and follow the practices. By following the practices, you're purified, and then you start to develop the attitude. You know, by your practices, Krishna is pleased, you develop the attitude. By trying to cultivate the attitude, then you're able to follow the the form. Does that make sense?
And also for Gaudiya, the main item is accepting Krishna as the maintainer.
Not necessarily. I would expect that it's dedication of the self. You know what Prabhupada was saying here. To identify oneself, always to feel inability without the help of Krishna, always to think oneself inferior, even though identify as Krishna, with Krishna's devotees. These last two, these are going to be your name. You know what I'm saying? For sadhana, then you accept us. But the point is on the transcendental platform, what is Mother Jashoda going to cook? Okay, and that will be based on its breakfast. What will she cook? You know, yeah. What if it's dinner time? What should she cook? Right. So that means what's favorable for breakfast, she'll accept. What's not favorable for breakfast, she'll reject. Does that make sense? So these apply all the way through. It's not that okay. This is something that we do and then drop. There's technically nothing really that we do that we drop in principle. Detail will drop because that's always changing anyway. You know, whether you're on the spiritual platform or the material platform, circumstances are always changing. So detail always has to be changed. That's why dealing in the present, that's the only way to efficiently get something done. Right? Because then you're dealing with the situation as it actually is. Right? Passion and ignorance means you're dealing the future of past, which it's not. It's what you'd like it to be or which it was. Does that make sense? But the principle, that always remains. So there's no difference between the activity of the sadhaka and the activity of the person on the platform of prema. Right? The sadhaka is trying to engage body, mind, and words in Krishna service, and the person on prema is body, mind, and words in Krishna service. Right? For the sadhaka, he's trying to give up the results of his activities for Krishna's pleasure, and there they don't have to give it up. It's already for Krishna's pleasure. All it is that on the transcendental platform, it comes very naturally, because that's the natural position of the soul. In the conditioned state, then it's not so natural. It's not natural for the conditioned state, but it's natural for the soul. That's what we forget. When we identify with the conditioned nature, then we'll say, oh, I can't do this, or I don't want to do this because it's not natural for me. It is natural for the soul. It may not be natural for conditioned nature. Right? Does that make sense? You know, and then it's according to what is your conditioned nature. Is it human? You know, is it subhuman? You know, what kind is it subhuman human, or is it subhuman meaning some variety of other alternative life? Right? You know, is that what it's meant by the alt life and alt music and all that? I mean, is this actually some variety of animal or bug or fish or? Does that make sense? Yeah. Sri Nanda Kumar, the youthful son of Nanda Maharaj, hears the prayers of anyone who takes refuge in him by the sixfold practice of surrender. Bhakti Vinod, so he's saying he always hears. Right? So that's the point, is he hears this. You know? The point, this is the method. You know? If you think Krishna's not listening, try these six.
But it indicates that if someone is not practicing
self-surrender,
prayers may be not
here. True. So therefore, the sooner you start, the sooner you get the results. Right? It just means that you're taking refuge by this sixfold. It doesn't mean you're perfect at it. The point is you're using that. That's the point about devotional service. Material, until it's perfect, you don't get the result. Right? But with Krishna, because you're trying to please Him, He's pleased, He is everything, therefore you're getting the result in the way of being happy and advancing in devotional service. You may not get the material result.
Does that make sense? But we'll judge by the material result. It'll eventually come anyway. But it's just a matter of when Krishna wants it to come. Bhakti Vinod prostrates himself at the feet of Sri Rup and Sri Sanatan Goswami, places a straw between his teeth, and clasps the lotus feet with his hands. Weeping and weeping, he tells them, "I am certainly the lowest of men. Oh, please make me the worthiest by teaching me the ways of Sharanagati." Without any offenses, the creeper of bhakti will quickly yield the fruit of prema. To do sadhana carefully means to do it without the 10 offenses. Right? So the 10 offenses before, so it's a natural. So you don't have the same.
No. Last part, last couple of sentences.
Really? You don't have page 80?
81. Oh, you're going back to 80 and 81.
No, I'm going forward to 80. I went from 80 to 81 and then forward to 80 again. I have 80, 81, 80.
Yeah, I don't have that.
Just see. You have to try the Sharanagati. Krishna, hear your prayer.
Yeah.
Comes up in the study guide, the negative instructions. Everybody gets
2 pages 15. 2 pages 15, see? It gets made up there. You get 2 page 15. I got 2 page 80s, but the 2 page 80s are actually different. No, they're not. They're actually the same. So what's before that? 79. So 79, 80, 81, 80. So 80 is supposed to actually come after 81. There it is.
Yeah.
See, it's the page before.
But
now look before that. What do you have? 79. See, 79, 80, 81, 80.
Yeah. No,
but you don't have the next 80. I do have the next 80. Therefore.
Okay.
Somehow or another, this book got the special mercy.
Yeah.
Okay, so everybody... How you say? Move forward by going back.
Yeah.
Like this.
Does that mean that page 80 fits 479 and 481 at the same time?
Yes. See, wow. I chinta beta beta.
Yeah, I was going to say.
That's it. So this would be one of those. To write a song, you have to go, how you say, backwards to move forwards or something like this. I do it with acoustic. It would probably work very good. Okay. Therefore, whoever is desirous of obtaining bhakti will take the name, being attentive to avoid each of the 10 offenses. Huh?
No, we don't have that.
We are not supposed to read it, actually.
Oh, this is actually, it just happens to meet, because it's from the... This is what Haridas Thakur says. See, now, this is... No, but what I'm saying is, here is the connection between the two.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Without any offenses. To practice the teach me the ways of Sharanagati, right? Without any offenses, the creeper of bhakti will quickly yield the fruit of prema. To do sadhana carefully means to do without the 10 offenses. So, therefore, if you want to do the 6 sentences of surrender, you have to know this.
It's like a chorus.
Yes. So, actually, it is page 80.
This is where
80.
The horns come in.
So now we should move forward to 82.
Yes.
So in other words, he ended there at, please teach me the ways of Sharanagati. I think this is actually a song. But it's the introductory song. So first principle of surrender, dānya, humility. Song 1. O Lord, I forgot you and came to this material world, where I had experienced a host of pains and sorrows. Now I approach your lotus feet and submit my tale of woe. While still bound up tightly in the unbearable confines of my mother's womb, O Lord, you once revealed yourself before me. Appearing only briefly, you then abandoned this poor servant of yours. At that moment I thought, after my birth, I will worship you. But alas, after taking birth, I fell into the entangling network of worldly illusions. Thus I possessed not even a drop of true knowledge. As a dear son fondled in the lap of relatives,
I passed my time smiling and laughing. Of course, don't mind the archaic example and all that. The affection of my father and mother helped me to forget. You still more, right? I mean, these two-parent families. Get real, you know, stuff like that. Okay. And I began to think that the material world was a very nice place, right? You know, really archaic here. Day by day, I gradually grew into a young boy and began playing with other boys, right? Totally politically incorrect.
Yeah,
soon my powers of understanding emerged. So I diligently read and studied my school lessons every day. Who does that? Right? Proud of my accomplished education. Ah, it must be one of these Boston Brahmins or something like that, right? I traveled from place to place and earned much wealth. Yeah, definitely. Thereby maintaining my family with undivided attention. I forgot you, O Lord Hari. Now in old age, this Bhaktivinoda very sadly weeps. I failed to worship you, O Lord, and instead passed my days in vain. What will my fate be now? So the whole point is forgetfulness of the Lord is what is the problem. The problem comes up because we've forgotten the Lord. And the thing is what is causing this forgetfulness, right, is material distraction, right, in the way of education, money, family affection, right? These are your main things. Because why does somebody need money? To take care of the family, to interact with the family. You understand? So it goes together. So you start at that point. You're dependent upon the family. You develop that whole mentality. Then one matures, and with his knowledge, then he goes out, he makes his place in the world, and make... Now, I say something wrong. Like that. Offended family, and here's, what's this? I'm out of here. Okay. Okay. So it just happens to be a coincidence. Okay. Just want to make sure. He has a very big family.
Okay.
They all are very affectionate. That's why I was worried about that. One of the more affectionate families in the movement, I think. Okay. And so then one develops in that way. And then at the end, one can't produce anything, but one's still dependent upon the family and those emotions. Right? So therefore, then you're born again in that helpless situation. You know what I'm saying? So the point is he's been with the relatives. They've taken care of nicely. He's laughing. He's smiling. And they absorb you more and more in these things. But the point is Krishna's been forgotten. Because the thing is that makes us happy is actually is Krishna's potency. That's why we're learning the philosophy. Because if we just say, oh, what you're looking, the happiness that you get is Krishna, then we'll think, oh, then it's fine. The happiness I get in my family life is coming from Krishna. Therefore, to get it from the family is that... But the illusion is that it's coming from the family members. It's actually Krishna's potency that's imbued within them. You know, moms are moms. It doesn't matter what family you're in. Dads are dads. Kids are kids. You know, brothers and sisters are, you know, like this. It's the same. It's because it's a potency. Does that make sense? You know, it doesn't matter the situation. It's the same. So Krishna's potency makes it appear that it's real. Right? So, because all the living entities in that situation have the same desire for the same kind of illusion. Or at least they have the karma for the same kind of illusion. Therefore, they interact based on the modes and therefore produce what they're looking for and what the other person looks for. Does that make sense?
When you see other families than your own, you can see this very obviously.
Yeah, no, it's very
but
obvious.
But in your own family,
you know, it's just like if we talk all these things about the man-woman relationship, to watch it in some other husband dealing with his wife, oh, so easy to see. Oh, he should have done that. Oh, get this, that. But when it's dealing with yourself, the modes of nature cover you, it's just like, you know, what do you mean? No, I am right. You know, I'm not sweating. She's got to change. No, this doesn't work. But he's looking at him, what is this idiot? You know, like that. Yeah, so that's how it works. Is that because the potency is there, because the other one, you're not the experiencing that potency, so therefore you can look at it as more factual. You know, of course, if you don't look at it through the philosophy, you look at it from one's own perspective. But the point is that all this has come up because of forgetting the Lord. So that potency is Krishna. So if they make us so happy and we're willing to work so hard, and that's because of Krishna's potency. So how much more will the person that potency is coming from make us happy and make us comfortable? Right? We feel, as before, we accept whatever's favorable in that relationship, reject what's not. See that as we maintain it. We think it will maintain us, it will protect us. Right? We take that. If you're good at it, you'll take the humble position. You always identify with it. Right? You know, you can't be talking to someone who's an enemy of someone else in the family. You know, so you identify. You know, you don't feel you can function without the family. Does that make sense? You know, your friends want you to go out, you know, go out for a, you know, camping, this and that, go fishing, you know, drink some beers, this, that, but you can't do that because then what about your family? You know, stuff like that. You know, and then you ask, well, can you bring them along? You know, and if they're younger, a couple of them, wow, great idea, we'll all bring them. If they're older, crazy. Like that, you know, so it's, does that make sense? So the problem comes is that it's the same thing. Right? The person who's good at it is because he's surrendered to it. He's followed these six symptoms. So that means technically he's surrendering to Krishna, but in the form of the illusion. So there's no question that the living entity is at any time separate from Krishna and not surrendering to Krishna. It's just a matter of whether you're doing it voluntarily and as Krishna as a person or just as his potencies. Does that make sense?
Imagine. It's a question of it's like it's why the importance of different varna, like the Stavanaprastha, in order to change the situation, to catch more this understanding.
The different varna, meaning?
It is explained the ordinary way of family life.
Mm-hmm.
So, the person who is going to
Vanaprastha
life is supposed to...
Oh, okay, so change. Okay, yes. It's so that one will be able to deal, because the Grihastha Ashram is the situation in which, technically speaking, means we're, you know, all of one's desires and needs, you know, hopes, aspirations, everything can be fulfilled.
Yes.
But you can only fulfill them if you know what you're doing. You know what I'm saying? Let's say you have a computer and you think you can make yourself happy with it. But the more you know about the computer, the more you can get from it. You know what I'm saying? There are probably thousands of functions that your computer does that you don't know about, that nerds know about, and they use them all the time. So the more you know, the more you can get. So that's the idea, is the Brahmachari Ashram means you learn how to deal one with the, you know, the real relationship is the soul and God, but then how to see that in relationship to the material phenomena. And once can see that, then one actually fulfills the one and gets the other. But it's only because you're seeing it in relation to Krishna you get, but at the same time as it means it's not yours. That's where the anartha comes in, is that I get it, but I want it. But as soon as you want it, you lose it. If it's not, it's always there. You know what I'm saying? That's the point. It means, how long will you keep the person in the bank? As long as he never thinks the money's his, or when he can also think it's his? Yeah. In other words, the more he understands it's not his money, and he's very responsible to deal with it because it's not his money, the more he moves up in the bank. But the moment he thinks this is my money, even if it's just a little, at that point he becomes, you know, either demoted down or he's kicked out. So that's the point, is this, you can work with the material energy in connection with the Lord. You'll get whatever it is you want. You want money, you'll get it, but as soon as you think it's yours, you won't have it. You want family, as soon as it's yours, you won't have it. You're right? It's like, when does a nice interaction happen? when you just deal with the moment and it happens, or when you plan that when I go home, then, you know, my wife will say this and the kids will do that and all these things happen. And then when you walk in the door and that doesn't happen, you know, you're thinking, you know, the kids will run up and daddy and the wife will, oh, honey, you're home, and all these kind of things like that. And so when you, you know, before you even, as you're, you know, getting out of the car and your illusion, walking out, then you hear inside the house the crashing and banging, the kids yelling and screaming like that, you know, and the wife's on the phone. And so you walk in and you hang up your hat and the coat and, you know, this and that, and you walk in and they just, you know, run by and like that, and you know, like that, and what's happening like that. And then as you're looking at that, you go and step on one of the toys and you know, like that. And then, you know, and, you know, and then, you know, then daddy's yelling and screaming. And so then mom's on the phone. Well, you get shut up. And says, you know, daddy's trying to say something, and goes back to talking on the phone and like this and that. And so it'll be a bad day. Right? Why? Because he had these whole plans of what it's supposed to be. But if he wasn't in that illusion, he'd come in, hang at his house, notice the toy, the kids are playing, you know, got them to, you know, calm down and everything like that. You know, go in, find the wife, say something, she'll wave and this and that. And then when the conversation, she'll come talk, and the kids, once they calm down, they'll interact. And it would have been fine. Right? But it doesn't happen because there's this idea of what you expect it will be. Do you understand? So once it's already yours before it's happened, you've already enjoyed the results before you've gotten them. So it's done. But if and it's temporary. But if it's never yours, it's always Krishna's. You can always be in that environment. You know, it's just like Prabhupada says: the servant of the king enjoys the same facilities. But the reason he enjoys it is because he never considers them there. So he eats the same food. He gets all the leftover clothing. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's not perfect, so the king won't wear it. So he gives it to you. You know, it's already, you know, 100 times better than anybody else wears. But he wouldn't be caught dead in it. Right? You know, so like that. Does that make sense? You know, so that's the problem, is we want Krishna consciousness and the material position. No, you can have one or the other. Material doesn't include spiritual. Spiritual means you get all the facilities. But that's the point, is that the spiritual world, they never consider it's theirs. Right? So, therefore, it's eternally their quoga. Because it's never theirs. It's only for use in Krishna's service. But here, we want the quota and to be able to call it and say it's ours and use it as. So that's where the problem comes. So that's why the anarthas takes so long, because we're trying to convince ourselves that I can function, I can be happy without the sense of ownership of the facility. Does that make sense? That's the problem. But, you know, we're very possessive, so therefore it takes a while. Yes?
On the previous page, Sanatana Goswami puts a straw in
the previous or previous previous?
Oh, on page
81. On 81, okay. Sanatana Goswami places a straw between his teeth.
No. Yeah, so this symbology of the straw is committed.
Okay, so you're not worried. Why is he surrendering to Rupa and Sanatana, and Sanatana Goswami is placing a straw in his teeth?
No, I just want to know the symbology.
I think it's just a symptom of humility, like that. I think even in the West, it's very archaic, but it's not
not like this.
No. Yeah, it's not sticking out this way. And then that's replaced by a cigarette, right? Then they got to get to stick to one lip, not both. You know, that's really good. I wonder if they used glue or something. Oh, and it'll stick like that. Like, sure, it changes the way you talk, because otherwise that's probably why, you know, Bogart and them talk the way they talk, because if they talked any other way, the cigarette would fall out, and it wouldn't be so cool, and then they wouldn't get the part, and so, you know, like that. So, huh? Okay. Yeah. Well, everything has its downside. So it's just I'm not exactly sure the technical, but it's just one of the mudras of humility. Like that, like offering obeisances or touching the feet, or it's just all part of the, does that make sense? But it works. I can remember somebody coming like that. They were supposed to be there for something. They were late. Right? You know, and the person that expected to be there, you know, gets very easily angry. And they come in and they're late and they're yelling, you know, it's going to yell and scream, and they just take a straw. Actually, it's just stick it in their mouth like that. And the guy just, you know, it doesn't work as well. Of course, it only works once. You know, but the next time you're going to get it anyway. But actually, if you check here, it's Bhaktivinoda that's placing the straw between his teeth, not Sanatana Goswami. Yeah. When he with Lord Chaitanya, he did that. So that picture is famous. That's Sanatana Goswami.
So
Lord
Chaitanya is showing humility, and at the same time, he's receiving the mercy of the Lord. So that's what makes the balance.
Means if you're humble, then people can take care of you. If you're proud, it's just like the kid, you know, doesn't know how to do it, you help him. But if he claims he knows how to do it and he's got all kinds of attitude, you just let him, okay, try it. Go ahead, go for it. And then when they fall on their face, and, you know, then you're nice to them, pat them on the head. And then, you know, then now you can deal. So that's the whole point, is that it's just that, you know, the kids are bigger and have mustaches and stuff like that. But it's the same principle. They think they're big, and when they fall on their face, then you can be nice to them and like that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so the principle here is that I diligently read and studied my school lessons every day. So he was good at it, but it put him in illusion. So this idea is that we're going to have great family interactions based on modern, you know, political correctness. We're going to study very nicely, be very educated by modern standards. And in this way, then we will become very established in Krishna conscious and preach and everything like that. Some of this song is not saying that. Right? The song is pointing out is that performing these activities not connected to Krishna, that's what puts you in illusion. But as we see from before, if those are done in connection with Krishna, it doesn't put you in illusion. But the reality is, we're an illusion. So these are ways we become an illusion.
Right? Is this mode of goodness holding us back?
Mode of goodness? Yeah, at best, depends what you're talking about. Yeah, it means mode of goodness can get in the way, but mode of goodness also means you're willing to follow duties and rules and regulations based on knowledge, not sentiment. But we see is that the modern concept is a new kind of Mayavad, that it's not based on dry intelligence. It's based on completely, you know, how you say, fluid emotions.
Arbitrary.
Yeah, it gives a veneer of intelligence, but there's no intelligence really at all.
That's why they always talk about intelligence.
They always do it because the thing is, Mayavadis don't have to talk about intelligence because that's all they're using. Right? You either know the Nyaya or you don't, and so you're discussing Nyaya, so you just stick to the philosophy. But here they always have to remind you how intelligent they are because they're not. Right? You know, and real intelligence means to see the difference between matter and spirit. That's intelligent. Right? And then further, realization of knowledge means to be able to tell the difference between spirit and devotion. You know what I'm saying? Like that. So the Mayavadis are intelligent because they can tell the difference between matter and spirit to some degree. It's not complete. But they can't tell the difference between spirit and devotion. Therefore, their intelligence is limited. Okay. So So he traveled, you know, he became all these different things, whatever it is we would consider of the world that is of value. So he has done. And having done this, he's found himself, the result is he's more and more an illusion. So now, he's saying, I failed to worship you, now he's passing, what will be my fate? So now he's surrendering. This is to begin this process of surrender. Right? So if we're proud of, you know, what we've done, and no, I was being practical and all this. He's not saying it wasn't practical. But the emphasis is on, in his practicality, he lost Krishna. Right? So we have to be very, very careful in our performance of our material endeavors. Right? Our skills, our occupations, our family interactions, our relationships, that we don't forget Krishna in the process. Because they both can go on simultaneously. Right? But when devotional service is the prominent. Right? You can have both if devotional service is primary. If you make the material is primary, the devotional service disappears. Right? That's why it's called Grihastha, Krishna is prominent. Grihamedi, Krishna is not prominent. That's the only difference. Like that.
It's very easy to get carried away when you start in a movement and then you have nothing and then some prosperity is coming. It's very easy to think that.
Yeah. So that's the problem. It's a matter of more Krishna consciousness. It's not a matter of something else. The temples have nothing, everybody's humble, it's a great time, everyone goes together. Then as it goes and more and more development, more money that gets more sophisticated, everyone gets more into the management, into who's in control, this, that, so many things, everybody wants more facility. Then when problems come over that facility and who's in charge and all that, then the solution is not all kinds of rules and regulations to control the management and who's in charge and that. It's a matter of reinfusing the devotional points, which is why they were doing it in the first place. You know what I'm saying? Because otherwise, the other is just a continuation down the same road. Like that, you know, thinking that, no, he had diligently read and studied like that and proud of his accomplished education. We can just say that, no, he's no better than everybody else. He's exactly the same as everybody else. So that will then curb his pride. Right? So now we've solved the problem. You go ahead. You diligently study, do all your things, but we're going to consider you exactly the same as, you know, another person who is uneducated. And that will then get rid of the pride, and therefore now you'll be Krishna conscious. Right? Have I solved the problem? No, because I haven't discussed Krishna consciousness. The point is the problem the knowledge and all that? Is the problem the position? No, the problem is pride because we think the knowledge is separate from Krishna. So when we think facility is separate from Krishna, you know, that the influence is separate, money is separate, that's when the problem starts. When we see it's connected, it's Krishna's money, it's Krishna's facility, what's the problem? Then you can have unlimited money and facility and power, but no problem. Does that make sense? That's the difficulty, but we look at it from the modern viewpoint is they don't have anything else. Right? So then if we use absolute power corrupts absolutely, there's nothing absolute around here, except that you're going to suffer and be miserable. Basically, there is no absolute. So to use these things, it sounds great, but it's totally mundane. There's nothing spiritual about it. You know what I'm saying? So the point is, you know, it may be Machiavellian, but the point is we have devotional service. So that means it can be corrected. Does that make sense?
So we see that many times analyzing the pioneer devotees which had some difficulties in their material life. The second conclusion is so this studying, establishing yourself will be the solution.
Yes.
We miss the point.
But who says that by getting a good education everything will go right and you'll get a good job? Which class of society is that for? It's for the middle class. And if you look in the history, at every time in history, see, now we talk about the emerging middle class. At the time of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta, there was comments by scholars of that at the time of the emerging middle class. Right? When you go back into the 1700s, the whole thing of the what do you call it? Enlightenment was because of the emerging middle class. Right? And then the whole point of the Renaissance, that was the emerging middle class. You know what I'm saying? And what was the problem? The emerging middle, that means Caesar, there was the emerging middle class. That's why they killed him. You understand? So there's always is the emerging middle class. This idea that we're something new and special, and it's middle class is always emerging. Because they were either rich and went down, or they were poor and came up. You know, it's like that. So they're emerging from something. That's why they're in the middle. Right? Poor, rich. Those are designations. Middle, what's the designation? So middle is dependent upon poor and rich. It's not a separate thing. We take it, no, it's its own. Emerging means it stands on its own. But as soon as you have money, then you're rich. You know, as soon as the stock market crashes, you're poor. Does that make sense? So this idea is this, all we're doing is falling prey to the same conditioning that brought us to the movement in the first place. And think now the conditioning is the solution. You know what I'm saying? I took too much milk, and therefore I got a bad stomach. You know? And so Prabhupada's saying take yogurt. But we know that actually it's that we weren't taking the milk in a sophisticated enough way. So now we'll be more sophisticated about it. You know, we'll get, you know, nice little porcelain cups or something and stick our little finger out and, you know, be very like that and all that. And so we'll do something that is like that. And now it won't make us sick anymore. It's just foolishness. That's why Bhaktivinoda, that's why it's song one. To remove the idea that this is the problem. Right? It's not because I have those things, don't have those things that is the problem, it's because I have that thing. That's why everything here is perfect. That's what I was saying. There's nothing missing here. Right? He was born. Right? You know, because if you were stillbirth, hard to say the song. He was born. Right? Then, like that. He was fond, dear son, fawned onto the laps of relatives, not one single parent. Relatives, fondled. Dear son, that means it's constant. Right? It's always going on. I passed my time smiling and laughing. He didn't say, I passed my time being crazy and you know, what do you call it? What's that? ADP or something like that. And, you know, and occasionally, you know, when, you know, my sister was, you know, yelling and screaming and totally miserable, then I was smiling and laughing. No, he's saying he's smiling and laughing because of nice interaction with the family. Not because he was, you know, some crazy weirdo. Right? Affection, my father and mother helped me to forget you still more. It means they were both affectionate. Both were there. He didn't say that, you know, during the weekdays with my mother, the affection was so great, and then on the weekends with my father, it was so nice. He's not saying any of that. Right? And I began to think that the material world is a very nice place. Just because it's more sophisticated doesn't make it more nice. Just because everything else, it doesn't make it more nice. I began to think it was. Then I gradually grew into a young boy and began to play with other boys. Right? So that means he had relationships. He wasn't just a single guy. He wasn't the weirdo guy in the trench coat with the other guys in the trench coat that work out some way to get a hold of machine guns and shoot everyone else in the school. Right? He had friends. He was able to interact. Like that. It was nice. Like that. Soon my powers of understanding emerged, right? So he became a scholar, right? So he has good family relations, he has good friends, and he's a scholar. I mean, what do you call those? You know? In America, they're, I think, what's it, four lettermen or stuff like that. They're good in sports, they're good in their education, they're good in everything. You know? Like that. So it is a class of man. You know, he's the one that can later on run for Senate and stuff like that because he has all the different things that everyone's looking for. Right?
proud of my accomplishment. Later I traveled from place to place and earned much wealth. Right? So he was able to influence, because he could work with his friends. He was secure. So, you know, he always had facilities. So now he's confident. He can go out and get it. He's able to influence people. He's getting everything he wants. So is anything missing? Is there any shortcoming here that the person's not going to the self-help section to alleviate? Right? Everything's perfect. And he's saying, thereby maintaining my family with undivided attention. I forgot you, O Lord. Right? So that means he did a good job. You know, I always said, oh, the problem was that we were too renounced, now we take care of the family. Now everything will be perfect. It's like, now what's going on? You know what I'm saying? So at that. Now in the old age, Bhaktivinoda very sadly weeks. Remember, old age starts from 50. Right? Means you're, you know, does that make sense? You know, you're a punk till you're 16. 16 to 30, that's youth. Right? That's why he's saying here, play that. Then my power is that, so I don't, that means youth comes up. And then he travels and like that, he gets a step. Middle age is 30 to 50. Right? And 50 plus, that's old age. So now, sadly, I forgot to worship you. Right? We have this false thing is that old means after 65. You know, whenever is, what do you call it? Retirement. You know, and just as you get to 65, then they move it to 67, right? I think they just did that in France. It almost caused a riot, I think. You know? Yeah.
There's a German saying that 40 is the old age of youth, and 50 is the youth of old age.
Yeah, I guess they blended the thing of, you know, life begins at 40 or life begins at 50. You know, what it means is you finally figured out what you're doing. But, you know. There's also another one. Youth is wasted on the young. Okay? So, that's the point. Now he's saying he's passed his life in vain. Right? So, a concept is that you can only be happy in these things if that's all you attend to. But Krishna consciousness means you attend to Krishna consciousness. And you may use these as a medium for that, but if you don't know the science, you're not doing it. That's the point. You know what I'm saying? Right? Singing, it doesn't mean that just some sound is falling out of your mouth, right? Unless, of course, you're an old man. But other than that, it means you have to be trained. You know what the note is. You know what the quality of the voice, the different things, all these different aspects. Right? So it's not that just, you know, you open your mouth and that you're in the shower, you're happy. You know, it's not that you're going to get any, you know, recording, contracts. You know? Does that make sense? Okay. So is this clear? So he's already clearing the point that there's anything material that's going to make you happy. Right? It's not going to happen. Like that. Song 2. With great enthusiasm, I spent my time in the pleasures of mundane learning. Right? That means he actually enjoyed learning. He's talking about what the concept that education was how you say? You know, yes, self-enrichment. So it was enjoyable. You know, you sat with another educated friend and discussed something and this and that. Nowadays, it's simply how to get a job, right? So, you know, so many educators will refer to modern education as simply factories, because they're only producing those people with degrees that they can get a very specific job. It's not for self-enrichment, right? But the problem is the self-enrichment on the mundane platform is still mundane. You know, it's just a more sophisticated, more, you know, seemingly developed, pleasant, you know, you have more things to talk about. You know what I'm saying? And never worship, okay, with great enthusiasm I spent my time in the pleasures of mundane learning, and never worshipped your lotus feet. Oh, your lotus feet, O Lord. Now you are my only shelter.
Reading on and on, my hopes grew and grew, for I considered the acquisition of material knowledge to be life's true goal. Right? Because that's the goal, and you got to get a degree. Why do you go to school? Okay, you get the degree. Right? You know, if you go on campus and you ask all the kids there, why are you going to this school? Why do you think, oh, they have this particular subject. Why do you want to know that so you can get a job? Right? So, therefore, that knowledge is their goal, to get that so that they can have. Right? Then they'll be able to get the sense there. How fruitless those hopes turned out to be, for all my knowledge proved feeble. Right? Like that. It's called midlife crisis. Right? Because if it was so great, why is it there? Because that's the point. When you hit old age, then you look back and see it was a waste of time because you still didn't address yourself as an individual. Right? But if you identify yourself with the externals, then all you can do is if you either spend the rest of your life and kind of fade away, or you can go off in a new direction. Right? Start a new company, go out and go mountain climbing, or go yachting, or, you know, do something crazy. But the point is it's still, that's not the point. It'll still then, again, now when you're too old to do that, you physically can't do anything. Because the Vedic idea is when you're still physically able to do something, but the mentality has come, that's when you start to pull back. Right? That's when you retire and the focus is on the spiritual. Right? Does that make sense? In other words, you're trying to do it as a grihastha. Right, husband and wife are working together and all that, but it's still all about the excitement of the kids and the family and getting the new facilities and money and security and all these things. Right? But later in life, then the focus is not on that. It's about how to take that same engagements and now connect everything to the Lord and focus more on the direct activities. Does that make sense? That's the idea. Does that make sense? So, does that make sense? So, yes.
It's better to do before getting too old.
Yeah, because when you're too old, then you become dependent, and unless you become independent, then old age is really not good. You know what I'm saying? Because the point is that. The idea is, when you're too old, then you just disappear. But the point is because it's too much trouble, right, for people to take care. But if you have something of value to add, then they'll want to take care. You understand? Like in the Bhagavatam, it's giving the example of the old man, right, bedridden old man. And everybody's sitting around the bed, and even though they all have their tears in their eyes, they're all thinking all kinds of stuff, right? And it's not good. It means if he could hear what they were saying, he'd probably die on the spot, right? You know. But yeah, does that make sense? But you don't hear that specifically about an old lady, somebody's mom. You don't hear that about. People happily take care of their mother. You don't take care of your father so much. You know what I'm saying? Not the sons and their wives and that. Maybe the daughters will. You know, maybe the wife will. But the rest of the family isn't interested. But, you know what I'm saying? But the grandmother or the great-grandmother, that's not a problem. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the point, is why by that time, then one should have worked out some situation where it's either you're of value so they take care of you because you have spiritual knowledge, or it's that you have so much, you know, affection and everything for them that you've taken care of, that's just natural reciprocal. Does that make sense? And then if on top of that you're nice situated devotionally, then that makes it even easier. You know what I'm saying? So the woman will be taken care of. She's devotional. It makes it even better. But the man, if he doesn't know the philosophy and is solid, then who wants to take care of an old geezer? Right, so that's why they're supposed to go to the forest. Like that. You know what I'm saying? But you see example of if there's something of value to give, that the spiritual is of value, then no one minds taking care. You know, like the example of Madhavendra Puri. Right? So Ishwara Puri is taking care in that because they value. You understand? Based on the spiritual. Does that make sense? You know what I'm saying? Prabhupada's disciples are taking care of him because of the spiritual. Prabhupada's sons were only trying to figure out how to get some money. They came. They never thought, can we do something? Can we help? Never. They walked in, they sat down, they said howdy, and then walked off, and then, you know, started court cases, how to get money. You know, that's the point. It's because of the spiritual, that's why you'd be involved. So that's why when you still have the energy that we should be using to cultivate these, not cultivate family. You understand? In other words, grihastha, you're expanding, you're developing. Vanaprastha means you're not. So we're not saying that husband and wife can't work together, but it has to be on the vanaprastha platform where it's not, the focus is not on developing the family, it's on developing Krishna consciousness in that ashram. But I don't mean, you know, yeah, we do that, we offer our prasad, and, you know, we have 10 minutes of kirtan in the morning and 20 minutes in the evening. We're not talking, you know, okay, 1 hour in the day. We're talking about trying to make all of your time that. But you just happen to be situated in your house instead of situated in the temple. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Maharaj, so in the east.
In the east.
It's much easier to recognize old age because there's a culture of recognition of spiritual values. As in the west, it's the old people usually alone.
Isn't that, can't you recognize that? Yeah. It's easy to recognize.
No, I mean here.
The guy that takes, you know, when you're in a rush, you know, in your car, you know, the person with the, you know, the four-legged walker trying to get across the street that you have to stop for them, that's old.
No, I mean...
Oh, you mean recognition meaning in the way of cultural recognition,
yeah.
Not in that he's just pointing out, okay, old, young, old, young, kid, like, really old, you know, like that. You don't mean like that. Okay, that person's, you can't recognize this. No, it's really easy to recognize. Unless, of course, you're in Vegas. That's really hard to tell who's old.
Florida?
Huh?
Florida? Everybody's old.
Yeah, no, that's all. That's easy. It's hard to figure that. You know, say, are there young people here?
I mean, there's no recognized value in the old people.
Okay, yeah, the value, yes. Because that means the point is, if the parents are always busy doing their own thing, why you'll take care, right? You take care because kids, they like their parents because they're together and they care for them, right? That's what he said here, is that as a dear son fondled in the laps of relatives. That didn't mean that, you know, occasionally or when they felt like it. When the mom wasn't at, when my mom wasn't at the spa, then she would come and, you know, fondle me on her lap until, you know, one of her friends calls and she would go off to gossip. You know what I'm saying? So that you don't the focus is kids are paraphernalia, it's an accessory. So therefore then you just created a nice place for keeping a possession. You understand? If you're dealt with as an accessory, you'll deal with the parents as one. And so a nursing home is just a nice place to keep. That's all. So as far as you're concerned, you're doing a great job. Right? But we see here, as you're saying, in the East, then there's the concept of family and putting in that effort. And it's about the kids and stuff like that. So therefore, then, when they grow up, they know that you took care. So naturally, once they kind of get, you know, deal with their own newness of the grihasthashram themselves, then they're very interactive. You know, and if it's been really nicely done, then there is no, it's seamless. Like that. Does that make sense? So that's the thing. But of course, the West can never learn anything from India and the East, right? Even though the East, meaning India and the Orient, have the oldest running cultures of the world. Right? American culture, you know, at best you can stretch it that it's, you know, 200 years old, 300 years old. That's at best. But even it's not that old. But these are ones where the same value systems and same methods are there for the last, you know, I mean, the modern document is 5,000 years. We know it's more, but, and so, but the West has nothing to learn from them. So Prabhupada's talking about Varnashram and all these different archaic cultural concepts have nothing to do because Westerners are different and unique. So it's all just, it's all just the pride of the bodily consciousness of life. That's all. It's nothing more glorious. You know, people argue that to the death, but it's nothing. But if we look at the philosophy, that's all it is. And it's, yeah, does that make sense? Okay, yes.
And also when we consider ourselves so unique in the West, that means then when we grow old, we can't contribute anything because the
we're
younger
not unique.
No, but the younger generation is unique in the, I mean, so
in a new way.
Say,
yeah, 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 true. That's
well,
a very good
point.
We have
to say it has no value. It's not even.
Yeah, that's a good point. You understand? Because the point is if the parents are giving you what worked before for their parents and grandparents and all that, then you, they give to you and you're going to use the same for your kids, so therefore it always has a value. But as he's pointed out here, is that if we're so unique and different because the time is different, and we're even talking, it worked in the 60s, but it won't work anymore. So that means one's individual relevance with time has no meaning. So therefore, why should anyone take care of, you know, useless old junk? You know, you throw it away, you know, like that. So homes are at least being nice, you know. That's a good point. That they by their own definition, establish themselves in irrelevance. Irrelevance. It's sad. The lack of cultural understanding. Yes. I don't think you'll get your work done by going that line. The individuals will take, because you'll notice all those widows in Vrindavan, where are they from? They're only from Bengal. Means if there's any old widows that are from Braj, they're living with their families. But all those widows are the only Bengalis, so it's a specific Bengali thing. Is that Bengal, as soon as there is nothing material, then their default setting is become spiritual. Other parts of India, it's not like that. If material doesn't work, you keep trying or get drunk. You know, something. But the Bengalis, then they work on the principles that, like I remember once, you know, well, I've had it quite a few times. People ask, you know, oh, so, you know, you're brahmachari. What about your family? It says, I don't have any family. What do you mean? Where's your mother? Oh, she died. Father died. Brothers and sisters, none. Oh, then it's okay. You know, so the idea is that when there is nothing, then they turn to spiritual. So it originally had its proper application. And so then that's the thing, because becoming a recluse is the natural thing for a lady to do, because if the husband's dead or things like this, it's like, you know, why dress up? Why do all these things? She's not interested. And so therefore leading a reclusive life where she doesn't have to put out all kinds of, you know, social energy to please others is very natural. But people may misuse that and that they don't want to take care of a widow, so they encourage her to go to Vrindavan. But that's just a misuse of something that's not a problem. You know, just like people misuse money, that doesn't mean money's a problem. Does that make sense? Like that. So one has to see is there. So then the point comes is it's not that the problem is that they're there. If it's there, then there's supposed to be facility for them. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his letter to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, one of the projects that he was talking about that's very dear was the I think it was called, I forget what it was, the exact name, but it was something like about the Vishnu Priya Save Ashram, something like that. It was specifically developing an ashram for the devotee widows, you know, or the retired women. It was specifically Bhaktisiddhanta. It was something that Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur discussed. So it was a standard thing, is that one should take care, right? Because, you know, the natural is that they'll want to have some way that they can just go and get away. So that should be created like that. So it's a normal part of the society. You know, that's what Arjuna was worried about, is that if all the men are killed in the battle, that these kind of works won't go on, right? But he was only looking at the moral value of it, not at the spiritual value of it. So the point is that the culture is only deemed developed in how it takes care of five, you could say, entities within the culture. You know, how it takes care of women, how it takes care of brahmacharis, cows, brahmins, and old men. Right? So women, it means from cradle to grave. Right? Brahmacharis, I mean, men, it's only when they're brahmacharis or old men. In between, they're the ones supposed to be the ones taking care. Like that, cows is all the way through. Brahmins are all the way through. But we see is that when we address these issues, we only address a specific one. We only address women, or we only address kids, you know, or old people. Brahmins are never addressed. And cows, you'll get one or two people that are into farm, they'll talk about it. But otherwise, it's a package. The five go together. Like that. Because brahmacharis, if they're not protected and made into good brahmacharis, they don't become grihasthas who take care of everybody. And then they're not valuable old men who it's worth taking care of, because they have, you know, valuable input to the society. And unless you've trained those brahmacharis to be good grihasthas, they don't protect the women all the way through. Therefore, then the women have problems, right? Then your next generations have problems. Does that make sense? It's the grihasthas that are taking care of the cows. Like that. It's the brahmachari, he grows up to be the brahmin. So even though we may, in the modern context, talk about taking care of the devotees and all this, I've never heard a discussion, well, how to improve the training of brahmacharis. That's the only way you'll do it. If you don't train the brahmacharis, you won't get the people that can do it. So therefore, it's only sentiment. The sentiment may be a value, but it'll never be able to be effected to give a good solution unless we start with that. So that's why Prabhupada said education is, you know, what ISKCON is for. Is education create a class of Brahmins? If you have that, then people understand the value of cows, women, brahmacharis, old men. Then people can understand. Because it's the Brahmins who will train. Does that make sense? So there are issues within it, but it's within how people apply it. So we always have to be able to tell the difference between what's the principle and what's a misapplication of the detail. Because otherwise, if we mix them, then we'll do the throwing out the baby with the bathwater kind of thing, you know? You know, it's just like the temples were so heavy, everyone had to live in the temple, so now no temples, and that will only have communities. But the point is communities held together by temples, right? You know, you have Jaipur, right? You have one temple holds together a whole city like that. Nathdwar, one temple. Tirupati, Rangaji, you know, all these, there are, one temple holds together the whole community. But everybody's grihasthas. So that the two function together is not a problem. And Prabhupada always talked about it. But devotees couldn't see it. It's just, if you're in the temple, you're good, and if you're outside, you're in Maya. But the point is, Prabhupada talked about, at some point we're going to grow where everybody can't live in the temple. So he, you know, he's talking about it. I read, you know, one place where he's talking about where one grihastha, he'll preach to 10 people. And if each one of those, as they kind of mature, they preach to 10 persons. You know, it's like, you know, three generations of that, you have 1,000 people. 10,000. You know? So it's a very effective system. So Prabhupada gave how it will work, and then we're fumbling around with how to make the community work. But the point is because we'll take the externals, the detail as the all in all, and therefore it all has to change because everything's changed, but at the same time as not necessarily, because there's always the same thing going on, because it means otherwise you could take the 60s preaching exactly as it was because it was good for the 60s and take it right now and go to Amsterdam and go to Eugene, Oregon, and you'd have a flourishing movement because they haven't changed. You know what I'm saying? So the point is that there's a principle and the detail you have to see to the application of the situation, but that's not based on our conditioning, it's based on how Krishna says the rules are. Because Vedic means there's always the rules define the exceptions. How to work with the exceptions. Because you never get ideal. Ideal is always defined so that you catch the principle. But then the rules always are discussing not the... Otherwise, why are there so many rules for a king? Ideal is Ram Raja, everybody does what they're supposed to do. Nobody does anything wrong. But when people do wrong, therefore there's, you know, half a book on what to do if they do wrong. So the Vedas deal with all that. We just tend to not see it. Right? That's why it says that one is responsible. One is, you know, take care. Not that you send the widow off because you don't want to take care. But if she doesn't want to be there and she wants to go to Vrindavan, then what would be the problem? But then naturally you're going to, whenever you can, visit there and see it's all right. I've met people like that. Their mom lives in Vrindavan. Like that. And very sophisticated. I even think I met the lady because they were from Kshatriya family, so really heavy. And then when the lady was discussing her mom, and then Indraduna was discussing a situation, I put the two together. Because there was an... Radisham Coop. You know the well when you come around and you shout into the well, Radisham?
Yes, yes.
Like that? So just before that, up a little bit on the left, there was an ashram there. Before there was nothing much there, so there's an ashram there. And so then one day he was going around and I think he had a cold. Yeah, he had a cold, maybe a sore throat, and when he was just coming around, he had cut, oh yeah, something, and he had a sore foot, he had cut his foot, so he was wearing socks and shoes. And then he came to the well, and then he didn't shout into it, or at least not with much. And he didn't notice that, but when he looked up, there was this very distinguished old lady wearing white, but very distinguished, very refined, standing there. You know, and he's used to, you know, I mean, she was from Bengal. But, and then she looked at him and spoke in perfect English, very educated English. And she said, you know, basically something like, you know, Maharaj, it says, you know, these things are here for a reason, you know, to bring out that enthusiasm and, you know, to break down all these barriers. That's why we shout into the well. Because socially, yeah, it's pretty stupid. But, you know, it's like this. We do this. Because then we remove these inhibitions and all that. You know? And then, you know, he kind of, you know, was a little shocked and started to walk. And then she says, one more thing, Maharaj, what I'm saying. He says, why are you wearing shoes? You know, says, we do parikram. Because that was back when it was all dust. Now it's, you know, it's all kinds of things. He says, oh, I got a cut on my foot. He says, and then she says, the dham is transcendental. It's chintamani. He says, if I get a cut, I just take the dust and rub it on. And then it goes away. She said, Maharaj, you have to have faith. And then she walked off. And then he was just left... So when I heard the one lady describing her mother and where she was, because that was right next to her place, and then the other story that I connected, this must be the same. So she would go and visit. So it's not unregular that you have ones that go. They're the ones that nobody takes care of, that are bhajan ashram and stuff like that. But there's plenty of widows who are all in these ashrams, well situated. Families come and visit them quite regularly, send money like that. So you have to see what's there. Because the problem is that their family's not good. You know? Not that the family's cultured and everything and has all the things that we're talking about here and then like that. So the point is when they force, it's another thing. Does that make some sense? Yeah.
Yeah. These five categories of who should be taken care of, children go with women or?
Children go, no, it's brahmacharis, not children.
Oh, brahmacharis, women, old people, brahmanas and cows.
Yes. Okay. See, because women, all the way, as a child, as grihastas, all three stages are taken. Yeah. But for men, as brahmacharis and old men, because as grihastas, they're supposed to be taking care of all the other four. In a sense. So that's the key, is the men are supposed to take care of it, but unless they're trained as brahmacharis, how are they going to do that? Right? Unless you have the old men who are trained to give the advice and training, how will that function? Right? Unless their mother was protected, how is she going to give that affection that they're going to be able to give that affection to others? Without the cows, how do you get the finer brain cells to appreciate to take care of all these? Right? So that's why but it starts with education. That's the whole point.
So female has a man means between 25 and 50.
Yeah, between 25 and 50, they take care of everyone else. Because grihastas are your bulk of your society. And so they're taking care of everybody else. So, means basically most are married, so that means they're taking care of all the women, right? They're seeing that the brahmacharis, all the cows are with them. Like that, you know, the old people that are there are with them. Right? They support the brahmins. Right? So like that it works. It's scientific. That's where Prabhupada says it starts with Garbhodhan Samskar. So then you get qualified person who can be trained, then they'll grow up, and when they get married, then they'll be able to take care. So it's a science. We take it as just it's some old sentiment. Well, that's what the Hindus did, but we're different, you know. So we don't have to do this yet. It means the reason you're different and unique, Malechas are called that, because they don't do that. We have to also remember is that Malechas are defined because they don't follow the Vedas. Right? And that's why they don't get their results. Oh, we're different. We do things differently. Yeah, that's why you get a different result. Now you know that all such erudition is actually pure ignorance. Right? Because ignorance means you don't know God. It doesn't mean it's not very sophisticated and knowledge that can skillfully get many things accomplished, but it's still pure ignorance because it doesn't have a connection to the Lord. The knowledge itself won't lead to the Lord. You'll have to add Krishna consciousness to that knowledge to get the Lord. All the so-called knowledge of this world is born of the flickering potency of your illusory energy, Maya. Right? She makes it look like it's, because it's just knowledge of the mechanics, which may be important, but it's only mechanics. You know what I'm saying? Let us say I have specialized, right? And I've gotten a degree. In fact, I've written a paper, and I'm one of the world's leading authorities on, you know, the modern social interaction of, you know, shaking hands, and you know other such what do you call it?
Rituals.
Yeah, rituals and what do you call it? Banal discussions. You know, like that. So, therefore, get in the hand. You know what? What exactly the fingers? You know, like how straight? You know, a little bit like this. You know, how much you pressure? What angle you put? How much do you extend? You know, all these things. So I can go through all that. And when I'm going through it, I got all the things right and everything. What's the guy that's there and I'm interacting with going to think? He's going to think, wow, this is like a bona fide whack job. You know? Like that. And then when they say something, yeah, and I go on about all of this. That's what modern knowledge is that the skills are great. So now the thing is that the other guy is also has a degree in that, you know, so then we'll think it's wild, great. And I think, finally, I've met an educated person, you know, who really understands me, you know, like that. But the point is the point's been missed. You know, real knowledge, real life is something else. So they know all these things, but they really know nothing. You know what I'm saying? You know, they know about the Egyptians. Why did they do what they did? What was the basis? What was their beliefs? That they don't actually understand. So, therefore, he knows so much, but he actually knows nothing. You know? Does that make sense? You know, because at least the idea before, even, you know, and we're talking here that he was talking about knowledge that was enriching, that helped in relationships. Now the knowledge only helps in occupation, and there's no idea of relationships. That's simply emotions and sentiments that happen to be there because of hormones, and that's it. You know, so it's somehow another. If you're a dog, hormones work pretty good, but if you're not, if you want to get a human experience, hormones aren't enough. Like that. It is an impediment to the execution of devotional service to you. Right? Because you'll think that the knowledge itself is the primary. No, it's only the supportive. Right? It's only the supportive. So it gets in the way because one is proud of one's knowledge. Right? You know, it'd be just like, let us say, you had a devotee who two devotees, you know, and they've been around the same amount of time, right? But one's a PhD, and the other didn't finish high school, right? Now, who's going to give the Sunday lecture? Right? The PhD. That's my point. But the point is we'll think like that. It has some value. He'll be more scholarly, so he'll give a better class. No, he only knows how to do mundane scholarliness. Means, in other words, let us say, if you took Prabhupada's books, or just took the Bhagavatam, right? And just studied that, and became very, very deeply enriched in that, would you consider that you have some solid knowledge? Right? Even if you just took Bhagavad Gita, let's say you just took Bhagavad Gita, studied that, frontwards, backwards, knew the shlokas, really tried to cultivate them in your life, would talk to devotees about them, their realizations. Would you be considered educated and knowledgeable? Yeah? But in the modern academy, you wouldn't, because if you wrote a paper, you would only have one bibliography of one book. They would reject it. So now he's taking these, you know, one at a time here, and going through them and how these different things, because before he's giving a general on how the values, and these aren't modern, right? The need for money, family, security, you know, prestige, these are eternal, right? That means the material consciousness. So that's why it's very important that we can understand this always apply. That's the thing, is the Veda is eternal. Right? And the songs of the Acharyas, then they're Veda. Right? Ramanuja Acharya means the Divya Prabandhas, which means the songs of the previous Acharyas as eternal. Right? They're as good as the Veda. So they would study the Veda, they would study the Pancharatra, and they would study the Divya Prabandha. Right? So in other words, you know, the philosophy, the deity worship, and the songs of the Acharyas. These were their main studies. So then they always apply, right? So we should never think, well, that's maybe in that situation, right? Because we can see it still applies, but it may not have the same fullness or particular detail, but it still applies. And then as he goes, now we'll get into the detail. Like he said before, he studied, but now he gets in and how right? And this way he'll go through all the different aspects. So, because humility, pride comes because we identify with these. We identify with the body and the knowledge. And in other words, the gross and subtle bodies. I'm intelligent or I'm not so intelligent, or I'm, you know, maybe not so accurate, but I'm practical, right? Those guys are all theoretical, but I'm practical, like that. Or, you know, or I'm, oh, I don't have knowledge and I'm such a fool and an idiot, and then think you're the body in that way. You know what I'm saying? You know, or family life is great, it's here, or my family life is terrible, and, you know, getting married, you got to be stupid to get married, and this and that, and all this is all just a show. It's the same thing. So no matter which way you take it, extremely one way or the other way, it's still the same topics. Like that. Still, it comes down to the person has no interest in society, complete, you know, reactionary, you know, right, you know, revolutionary. But still, what are they talking about? Money, social things, political. They're talking about the same things. You can't change it. That's the topics. Right? So here he's going into the detail. So like this, and then we take this, apply it in our situation, and then try to see, based on all the philosophy that was there, how to therefore take the knowledge or take the family things and connect it to the Lord. Right? Right? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Dealing with the family is mechanics. So that means applying the philosophy into it is also mechanics. Dealing with economics is mechanics. So you have to right? Just direct devotion is no mechanics. Therefore, it doesn't require any. You understand? So that's why we say it's not a matter of, we just chant the sentiments there, but the family that we're working so hard, occupation, all these other, we work very hard, very technically, very sophisticated. That there, but then the devotion, oh, it's just all, you know, just all, we just chant, we don't care, you know, for any rules. Just, no, the point is how sophisticated it is, that is how sophisticated your application has to be. You're simple about the devotion, the process is simple. You're very sophisticated about your material things. You need the sophisticated philosophy to connect it. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? You have a bicycle, the back alley works good. You have a Ferrari, you need a highway. It's just the way it works. You know, the guy has a Ferrari and says, no, our gravel alley is good enough.
Can you give an example of this sophistication?
Sophistication. The guy, you know, he has his job, he has his things, he has his all this different, he's very organized and everything. But he just thinks, oh, well, it doesn't matter, you know, we're devotees, so it's all connected. But the point is how is it that, why is he so regulated? Where did regulation come from? You know, why is he so authoritative? Where does authority come from? Right? You know, how does it make, where does economics come from? You know, that he's the boss and they're the workers. Where does that concept come from? He didn't make it up. You know what I'm saying? Where does the idea of selling things, where does commodities come from? Where does it come from? Right? Where does advertising come from? You know what I'm saying? You know, we talk about, is that some new thing? No, it's always been there. Why do you think they have all of their vegetables sitting out on the road? So it's advertising. Just you need it, therefore they don't need to have a billboard with some fancy lady there, you know. She's got a Gucci bag and her cauliflower. You know, you don't need that. You understand? That's the point.
Talking about the girls, now we have a Ganga ride, and there is a lady.
Yeah, otherwise why are you going to go? Right? Guys would get on there, where are the ladies? I want my money back. Okay.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Śrīla Prabhupāda ki,
Jai
Samaveda Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nityananda Gaura Prema Nandini.